My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcasting over on our sister station, the Team 980. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 240 here on this Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. The first Sunday of the summer, baby. And it's hot. 95 and sunny down the street from Nats Park. The fellas not at the crib this weekend. They lost, talking about the Washington Nationals last night, in just quite literally historic fashion. We'll get to all of that and more before we get out of here. I wanted to start things off today by first of all acknowledging Doc Walker, my dog, and acknowledging what this time of year means and what it means at this point in time, at this current juncture, to be a DC sports fan. Because I was thinking about it honestly coming in. I really feel, in terms of every local team here right now, I genuinely feel like, you know what? Despite some of your shortcomings, despite everything not being picture perfect, I love it. This is what we love to do. This is what we love to root for. As angry as I'm going to get at Benjamin St. Juice at some point this season for missing a tackle on a toss, as angry as we're going to get at some point in this season at Andrew Wiley blowing a block and getting Jaden Daniels' head knocked off, as angry as we were last night at Kyle Finnegan costing the Nats in historic fashion, an absolute blow-up of epic proportions last night. And I don't want to shortchange it in any form or fashion because it is bad. But I almost want to give him a mulligan for it, because Kyle Finnegan, let's just be real here, has been lights out this year. Lights out this year. So, you're allowed to have mess-ups, but the way it happened last night in historic fashion, just a disastrous ninth inning, and the Nats all in all blow a chance to get to 500 for a fourth straight time, and that's seeming to be the code that they can't crack here recently, is getting back to 500. But, like I said, I almost want to give Kyle Finnegan a mulligan for what happened last night. Ryan McMahon draws a bases-loaded walk on a full-count pitch clock violation by Kyle Finnegan, and it scores 2 runs for Colorado. eventually in that ninth inning, and they win 8-7. But the lead up to what happened is what really is like puzzling about what happened. It's literally head scratching. It's probably, and like I said, Finnegan's been lights out this year. It was his worst outing of the season. Not even close. Four straight singles, and then that happens. That's the part that like really, it was almost, last night was, if you got to watch, an absolute roller coaster. Luis Garcia goes yard in the eighth to get them back in front. And then here comes the ninth, Kyle Finnegan. And normally in this spot all year long, he has been lights out. But for whatever reason, last night, Kyle Finnegan costing the Nats in historic fashion. Here is the final call from Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, as heard last night right here on The Fan.
And now Finnegan uses a disengagement and walks off the back slope of the mound.
He was about to run out the clock.
Yep.
That would have been a first.
That would have ended the game.
Well, to lose a game on a violation, that has not happened before. He's already down to seven.
He peers in, 5-4-3. 2-1. The kick and the pitch, and they called it. They called the pitch clock violation. Pitch was going to be high anyway, and the game is over on a pitch clock violation. That is a first in baseball history.
Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler last night right here on the Washington Nationals Radio Network. As confused as we all were, it was crazy as you're watching. It's like, okay. Then Charlie goes kicking the pitch and clocks out. And what he said there, and what you noticed, and I guess it was pretty obvious watching it, would have been a ball anyway. So either way, Kyle Finnegan last night coming up short in probably his worst outing of the season. The Nats right now, after last night's loss, a game and a half back of the San Diego Padres for that third and final wild card spot in the National League. Looking ahead at the schedule coming up, this Rockies series is supposed to be one that you were able to get a clean sweep in. Hopefully they're able to, you know, get the series win coming up later this afternoon. As I mentioned, I'll take you up to 240 before we kick things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll have the call for the rubber match in this series against the Colorado Rockies, who have been god-awful this year. Nats need this one. Jake Irvin on the bump for Davey Martinez, the squad. First pitch set for 3:10, and you can hear it all right here on The Fan. They needed this Rocky series kind of to beat up on Colorado before you got a couple of massive series in a row coming up. You get those San Diego Padres coming up on Monday on the road, obviously, but a massive series coming up here for Washington and the ability to, you know, get some head-to-head victories over the San Diego Padres. And ultimately, you know, the goal is to take that third and final wild card spot. And who knows? You know, maybe you're in a spot where you're even able to catch St. Louis here. Don't let last night, as brutal as it was, and this is the tough part about digesting what happened last night. As brutal as it was, Nats have won 10 of their last 14. Bats are waking up a little bit here in this series. And this is always been my thing with this group. As we've, you know, all gotten lathered up here recently about talking about potential, talking about potential playoff baseball here in our nation's capital, man. Last time we seen it, we know what it was. World Series, all the fields, vibing, partying on Half Street. It was lit. That's why the excitement level is what it is with this group. Because we know, if you're a realist about this, if you're not someone that's just got surgically attached pom-poms and are going to just make them seem better than what they are, you understand that they're ahead of schedule right now. For them to be competing for a wild card spot in the NL, which, and let's just be real about what it is, they're about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's like a 9-team race. So pump the brakes a little bit, but still understand this group's playing good baseball right now overall. And I feel like the big revelation, and we'll get to see one of their young guns on the mound this afternoon, Jake Irvin. I mean, the young pitching from this group, no matter what the final record is at season's end, you have a real legit building block coming up here. And think about what you've got down the pipeline, in which in what's one of the best farm systems right now in Major League Baseball. Brady House went yard yesterday. James Wood, in his first game back, went yard yesterday. So you have the bats coming up in the pipeline. That's been really your issue here this season. The pitching's been stellar. C.J. Abrams goes yard again last night. His history continues. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's exciting because we know, and this is just the way I look at it, that I know it's sort of like playing with house money right now. Whatever happens, I'm okay with it. But they're in it right now. And if the pitching is going to continue to be what it is, and they're going to get good starting pitching consistently the way that they have outside of this series, then they're going to be in it till the very end.
I just want to tell you, house money or not, that loss last night was frustrating.
It was.
That was really frustrating.
That's what I'm trying to say here. Like, it's a gut punch. It is an absolute gut punch. You literally lost in historic fashion, and damn the way that it ended. What about the four singles before that? That's sort of the way I'm really looking at it, because it's like, man, Finnegan's been lights out this year.
Yeah, he hasn't had many blown saves, so, I mean, I guess he was due, but, man, it was just,
I think he was something like 20 of his last 23.
Yeah.
Finnegan's been rolling. Somebody so to the point where it's like, are you going to have him post-trade deadline? And that's why this next couple of weeks matters so much for this group. Because you got to, you know, if they go on a run here, let's say they go on a little bit of a heater here. They get Colorado out of the way, which they should. Then you got Corbin on the bump tomorrow night, which could get interesting. But say you win 2 out of 3 against San Diego and you get yourself back in, solidified in the wild card spot. Then you got a series against Tampa Bay. Then you come back home for another monster series, 4-gamer. Through 4th of July against the Mets. Like, this is the biggest stretch of your season right now. It's go time. I mean, you're in it. Trade deadline's creeping up. What happens here in these next 2 or 3 series, or 3 or 4 series, rather, will really determine what the heck's going to happen with this group at the deadline. Because I can make an argument that if Kyle Finnegan proves that last night was a mulligan, someone's going to want him. A contender's going to want him. We know how premium of a position the closer is. He's been one of the best in the National League this year. A guy like when Trevor Williams comes back, is someone willing to give you something for Trevor Williams? Because let's just be real about the rotation. While it's good, right, that we're getting these young arms performing the way that they are, you could be in a conundrum here coming up here soon, right, where it's, you go to the 6-man rotation. Who's the odd man out, right? Because DJ Hurz has been good. Mitchell Parker been good. 2 total surprises that have come out of nowhere. So what happens when Josiah Gray comes back? And now, based on the way he's looked in his rehab study, it may be a little bit longer before we see Josiah Gray. Kay Cavalli also going to be coming up the pipeline here as well. So at some point, there are going to be some big-time decisions to make. That's why I'm like, while we think about the pressure of all of that, remember and keep in the front of your mind, right, this group's ahead of schedule. And what's happening right now should be applauded. Everything should – you should feel like everything's on the up and up in this group, and you should trust them wholeheartedly. But last night, as I said, Kyle Finnegan, in historic fashion – and I'm laughing about it because it's pain. I'm laughing at my pain. Because think about how different you feel going into today with a chance to sweep a series right before you go into this massive 3-gamer against San Diego. You would have had all the feels. The momentum would have been way on your side. Now it's sort of like, man, if you don't get this win today, don't let it turn into a slump. That's my thing. Your winner is of 10 out of your last 14. Don't let last night, in the emotions of it, let you blow one this afternoon against a team that you're clearly better than, one of the worst teams in the majors, talking about Colorado here. Get that win. Have some confidence going into this 3-game series coming up against San Diego. 1-800-636-1067. 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Gut-wrenching loss last night for the Washington Nationals. They're back in action this afternoon for the rubber match against the lowly Colorado Rockies. Jake Irvin on the bump. You can catch the action right here on 106.7 The Fan, starting at 2:40 with Nats on deck. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. In light of Kyle Finnegan's massive mulligan yesterday, where does yesterday rank amongst the all-time sick feeling as a D.C. sports fan? That's next here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yes, indeedy. Still rocking and rolling here on this Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Lynnell Willenkamp taking you up to 2:40 before we hand things off to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, who were on the scene of one of the biggest heartbreaks of the season, the biggest heartbreak of the season, and really a recent memory for your Washington Nationals. Metal Christie, if you got it ready, I gotta let you all hear it again. Last night, Kyle Finnegan, after four straight singles, given up, cost the Nationals in historic fashion.
And now Finnegan uses a disengagement and walks off the back slope of the mound.
He was about to run out the clock.
Yep.
That would have been a first.
That would have ended the game.
Well, to lose a game on a violation, that has not happened before. He's already down to seven.
He peers in. 5-4-3. 2-1. The kick and the pitch, and they called it. They called the pitch clock violation. Pitch was going to be high anyway. And the game is over on a pitch clock violation. That is a first in baseball history.
Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call last night right here on the Washington Nationals radio network. It honestly, and like I said in the last segment, if you're just joining us, I want to give Kyle Finnegan a mulligan right off the rip because he has been lights out this year. He has been one of the best closers in Major League Baseball, so much so to the point where, depending on how the next couple of weeks go, he may be someone that gets dealt for prospects at the deadline. So there is going to be interest in him around Major League Baseball because of the premium of the position. So don't let last night color your evaluation of what Kyle Finnegan's been all year, but good gracious. Absolutely, it was absolutely gut-wrenching last night to see it happen in real time. And it got me thinking, like, when's the last time I've been kicked in the gut like that as a DC sports fan? And you know how this rocks. It ain't hard. You don't got to go too far back. This is almost, y'all know how much I love the Commanders. This almost reminds me, I mean, there were so many moments in that 2022 season under Riverboat. But I look at it and I say, man, it's brutal. It's brutal what happened to them last night. I hope that emotionally it did not take a massive toll on them, because they're in a pretty massive portion of the schedule right now. You lost 2 of 3 against Arizona, who you're battling with in this wild card race. You were supposed to go up to Colorado and take 3 in a row. No questions asked. No questions asked. You were supposed to go up to Colorado and take 3 in a row, and you didn't. So I don't know what to think. This is why I say slow your roll on the playoff talk. Because like I said, there's 8 and 9 teams in this race right now in the National League wild card picture. And we act as if, you know, they're going to win the World Series. And maybe that's just, maybe I'm not reading the room properly. Because I think there's plenty of reason for optimism. But I think what's more important, as I said, is these young pitchers continuing to show good stuff. Look, Mitchell Parker yesterday. Wasn't bad. But outside of that, it's pretty darn good. 8 punch outs. He's been okay. But like I said, the problem that they have is going to play itself out. Because we're waiting for the other shoe to drop on Mitchell Parker. Right? I mean, this is a guy that's a 5th-round pick that has come in and been lights out in relief of the injured starters. He's been darn good. He has. Wait for the other shoe to drop on him, though. Maybe your pitching questions solve themselves. Like I said, it's a good problem to have. But that's what's more exciting. The fact that you got a young cat like Mitchell Parker exceeding expectations. The fact that, you know, a kid that we'll see this afternoon on the bump, Jake Irvin, has been darn good this year in stretches and has really taken a step forward. Right? Mackenzie Gore, although he got a little bit shook up in his last outing, has shown tremendous potential here and gets you excited about what you have moving forward. That's what I think the conversation more or less should be. And last night in a situation like that, they proved it to you. You needed to take 3 in a row versus Colorado, like I continue to say, to give you momentum going into this series against San Diego, and a San Diego team that is just better than you, right? Just better than you. And boy, don't you wish you had Jackson Mayall right now, who's lighting things up, their young pup out in San Diego. So it's fascinating to see.
But it's like they did bad against the White Sox, too.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, then they're beating some of the good teams.
The inconsistency, but that's what happens, though, when you can't rely on your bats at all. That's the problem. I think the pitching, well, there have been a bad inning here, a bad inning there. We haven't seen the complete meltdown. But last night was that. That was the complete meltdown that you saw. And to have that happen, the emotional toll in a series that you should have swept.
You think it was the elevation? You think the elevation was getting to him late in the game or anything? Or
I mean, yeah, sure. That makes me feel better about it, I guess. I mean, no, I don't know.
I always wonder that about Denver, though, when you see games get blown in Denver in the final, you know, minutes or whatever. And I know that he's a relief pitcher. He wasn't playing the whole game, but like.
And then it's, you know. But emotions, adrenaline, the spot that you're in. You know, everyone's feeling good coming off the Luis Garcia homer. Like, so I don't know. It was tough. Like I said, Nats looking to get the series win this afternoon in the rubber match against Colorado. A 3:10 first pitch right here on the Fan. Pregame coverage is going to 2:40 with Nats on deck. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call per usual. I want to take your calls, though. MGM National Harbor Lister Lines wide open. You can tweet at me as well as at @NELL_BTP. Kyle Finnegan absolutely blowing it yesterday in the 9th inning in historic fashion against the lowly Colorado Rockies, giving up 4 singles and then scoring a walk-off run on a pitch clock violation for the first time in Major League Baseball history. A sick feeling for Nats fans out there around the DMV. Where does yesterday rank amongst the all-time sick feelings as a DC sports fan? I give you my thoughts, plus take your calls next. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister line. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Plenty more to get to. We're getting to the Washington Commanders in the 1 o'clock hour. A lot of national buzz for the local cat, Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall pick. The guy that is tasked with leading this group into the future, and I'll tell you why coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, where I'm feeling real good about what he could do this year. Damn the future. We have plenty of time to talk about the future. I want to talk about what I think Jaden Daniels can do from the get-go. That's coming up top of the 1 o'clock hour. The national media and folks in NFL circles sky high on the Commanders' new rookie signal caller. We'll get into that coming up in about a half hour. Right now, taking your calls, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Kyle Finnegan last night for the Washington Nationals. Going into this game, Nats were winners at 10 out of the last 13. Feeling good going up against a lowly Colorado Rockies squad. Second worst record in the National League. Luis Garcia hits a homer in the eighth to give the Nats the lead. Or rather to tie things up. And in that ninth inning, Kyle Finnegan, 4 straight singles given up. And then in epic, historic fashion, for the first time in Major League Baseball history, and I guess it's only been a year of the pitch clock, but for the first time under the new rules of the pitch clock, a team losing in walk-off fashion because of the pitch clock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to focus on the pitch and the location. I thought I picked up the clock, and I guess by the time I picked up and looked at the catcher and delivered the pitch, I was, you know, just a hair too late. You know, those situations, that it just can't happen. It can't happen.
As soon as you saw what the ruling was, the violation, just what went through your head?
Well, at first, you know, I didn't really know what he called, because I thought I was right on time. I wasn't, so it kind of dawned on me that I was too late, and just immediately, you know, felt awful about, you know, letting the team down in that big spot there. To lose the game in that way is just, it just can't happen.
Kyle Finnegan taking it on the chin like a man in front of the scrum of reporters last night. After, as we mentioned, Nats losing in historic fashion. Epic collapse by Finnegan in that ninth inning. But like I said, they cannot let this thing continue to snowball, because it was a gut-wrenching feeling last night. I continue to try to paint the picture for you. There's a group that is playing damn good, feels like they're starting to turn a corner a little bit. They're a game and a half back for that final wild card spot in the National League, and they're getting ready to enter a critical stretch in this schedule to determine whether or not straight up they're going to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. I don't think there's really any scenario in which they'll be buyers unless they want to add a bat. But it's going to, you know, potentially shape the future of things here. And you needed that win against a lowly Colorado team. You got Jake Irvin on the bump this afternoon. You go get you a clean sweep and build some damn momentum going into this massive series that starts tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow night rather, against San Diego. So it's a tough spot. Right now, for the Curly W's, it was a sick feeling last night. It got me thinking, though. In recent memory as a DC sports fan, and we've had some tough, tough moments, where does this rank, and what other moments can compare to how gut-wrenching it was last night to see Kyle Finnegan lose this thing in historic fashion? And what's sick and eerie about all of it, it makes you feel wicked, is he's been lights out this year. But in a big spot, in a spot for Washington to gain some momentum heading into this massive series against San Diego, Kyle Finnegan drops the ball. It gets me thinking about that second New York Giants game, man. Whew, 2022 is the year. Jahan Dotson, or Terry McLaurin rather, called for not lining up on the football And then Curtis Samuel gets absolutely mugged at the end of the game, and there was no call. Was that Sunday Night Football? Playoff spot on the line? And the Commanders blew it. That's what last night felt like. Because the other layer of this that I haven't even really brought up yet, and this is why I say those situations are similar. Last night, the umpire, Hunter Wendelstedt, god-awful. 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 The called strike accuracy last night from Hunter Wendelstedt was 82%. The average is 88%. He was missing calls left and right. And the report here from umpscorecards.com, it gives you the impactful missed calls. He had one in the bottom of the eighth where a strike is called a ball. And bases are empty in a 3-2 count with two outs. Cost him there. He had a situation in the top of the third where in a 2-1 count, a ball is called a strike. He was below average as well in the call ball accuracy. Average 97%. He was 94%. That's better. But the called strike accuracy last night was egregious. Absolutely egregious. And by the analytics, it gave Colorado 0.86 runs in terms of his misses. Now we're getting nerdy with it, but like, that's why I compare it to that Giants game for Washington, because that was a blown call. That was a no call. Terry McLaurin, they call that garbage call in that prime situation. It was just ludicrous, man.
I got a different one for you.
Yeah.
Also going to go with the Commanders, though, because
of course, you know. They're the easiest one to break your heart.
There's so many. But it reminds me of when the Detroit Lions ended their losing streak
against the
Commanders. And it's that kind of historic loss where it's like.
Yes.
And, you know, there weren't playoff implications, but, man, I just remember how bad it felt. I was like, we're the team they're going to beat. We're the first team they're going to beat. Like, just, ugh.
It's gut-wrenching. MGM National Harbor Lister Lines, wide open on that. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. In light of Kyle Finnegan blowing it last night against the lowly Colorado Rockies, where does it rank for you here in recent memory, and what other recent memories do you have of just getting absolutely heartbroken by one of these D.C. sports teams? Little wants to tap in. What's going on, Little?
What's going on, big fella? How about the heavy metal, man? I'm going to look at it another way right now. I'm going to give him a pass, man.
And that's what I tried
to do.
Playing.
He's been lights out, man. He's been lights out on the mound. But my thing is, man, with Davey, man, he snatches pitches too damn fast for me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they can be doing good, man. The pitch count might not be too high. I like to see him ride it out a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? And hitting is contagious.
For sure.
And we got to bring up one of them youngers, man. We got to bring one of them up because, see, if one of them come here and start hitting, man, it's contagious. And one other thing I'm going to get off the wall, man. You know why Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall?
Why
Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall because he ain't had no legs. That go for you, bitchy. He didn't have no legs, but all that body up top, he couldn't hold it, man. Hey,
man, I appreciate the call.
Hey, man, I got arms bigger than Big Tony legs, man. I
appreciate the call, Little. 1-800-636-1067 It's the number. I agree with what Little said, and it's kind of the drum that I've been banging here to start here in the first hour. I mean, Kyle Finnegan has been lights out this year. There was a point last week where it was like 20 of his last 22 saves successful. I mean, what I continue to go back to, it's all about momentum for me. You dropped 2 of 3 against Arizona, who you're scrapping and clawing with in this NL wildcard race. Fine. At home. I might add. You lost 2 of 3. After sweeping Miami, who you put belt to their ass all year, so you kind of had momentum on your side, it felt like. But whatever, you lose 2 of 3 against Arizona. Then you got Colorado, a tune-up, because they're the second worst team in the National League, a tune-up before this massive series, as I continue to talk about, against San Diego, and straight up, man, they blew it. They blew it. And it's tough because as we move forward here, This is going to, when we look back at it, this is going to be a portion of the schedule that ultimately I think will end up telling the story for the rest of the year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lester Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I mentioned the massive series coming up against San Diego. Then it doesn't get, you know, too much easier. You got a three-game set against Tampa Bay on the road. And then you come back home for two series in a row, first of which starts on July 1st against the New York Mets, another team that you're scratching and clawing with. But the Mets seem like they're starting to get things turned around. No folks up in New York were absolutely losing their damn mind about the slow start that they've had in the year, but they've shown life here as of late. So big portion in this, a big important stretch in the schedule coming up for the Nationals. They got the St. Louis Cardinals coming to town as well. So we're going to find out a lot about the Washington Nationals coming up here in the next week or two. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, a figure at ESPN, some would say the face at ESPN, rejects a massive contract offer. You won't want to miss the details of what was turned down at the big network. That's next here on The Fan. Junkers in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham taking up the 240 before we kick things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. The rubber match in Colorado against the Rockies, 3:10 first pitch. Nats on deck gets going at 240. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call per usual. Jake Irvin set to get the start this afternoon, trying to not let last night's mulligan from Kyle Finnegan, or last night's epic collapse, historic collapse from Kyle Finnegan in the ninth, not trying to let that catapult over into today as they try to take 2 of 3 against the Colorado Rockies, a series which I continue to say I was looking at it as a tune-up series before you get geared up to play the San Diego Padres, who you're fighting right now, scratching tooth and nail with for that final wild card spot in the National League. I wanted to get to something that was interesting to me because in this industry, it is a lot of different ways you can go, right? Some people stay behind the scenes. Some people get on air. Some people like to be on the production side. But at the end of the day, I think we all do this, one, because we love it, but two, I want to get paid, brother. Like, that is what motivates me, right? It's the opportunity, you know, to create generational wealth, to be financially secure through hard work, doing what you love. I feel like that is what people strive to have in their life, period. And I see a lot of hate online right now, and it's bothering me because I'm not a pocket watcher. It's not what I do. Now, you'll hear me from time to time say that, man, I think it's crazy that we got school teachers that are underpaid, but Jaylen Brown signed for $300 million last summer. Trevor Lawrence, mid, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister line. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Plenty more to get to. We're getting to the Washington Commanders in the 1 o'clock hour. A lot of national buzz for the local cat, Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall pick. The guy that is tasked with leading this group into the future, and I'll tell you why coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, where I'm feeling real good about what he could do this year. Damn the future. We have plenty of time to talk about the future. I want to talk about what I think Jaden Daniels can do from the get-go. That's coming up top of the 1 o'clock hour. The national media and folks in NFL circles sky high on the Commanders' new rookie signal caller. We'll get into that coming up in about a half hour. Right now, taking your calls, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Kyle Finnegan last night for the Washington Nationals. Going into this game, Nats were winners at 10 out of the last 13. Feeling good going up against a lowly Colorado Rockies squad, second worst record in the National League. Luis Garcia hits a homer in the eighth to give the Nats the lead. Or rather to tie things up. And in that ninth inning, Kyle Finnegan, 4 straight singles given up. And then in epic historic fashion, for the first time in Major League Baseball history, and I guess it's only been a year of the pitch clock, but for the first time under the new rules of the pitch clock, a team losing in walk-off fashion because of the pitch clock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to focus on the pitch and the location. I thought I picked up the clock, and I guess by the time I picked up and looked at the catcher and delivered the pitch, I was, you know, just a hair too late. You know, those situations, that it just can't happen. It can't happen.
As soon as you saw what the ruling was, the violation, just what went through your head?
Well, at first, you know, I didn't really know what he called because I thought I thought I was right on time. I wasn't, so it kind of dawned on me that I was too late, and just immediately, you know, felt awful about, you know, letting the team down in that big spot there. To lose the game in that way is just, it just can't happen.
Kyle Finnegan taking it on the chin like a man in front of the scrum of reporters last night. After, as we mentioned, Nats losing in historic fashion. Epic collapse by Finnegan in that ninth inning. But like I said, they cannot let this thing continue to snowball because it was a gut-wrenching feeling last night. I continue to try to paint the picture for you. There's a group that is playing damn good, feels like they're starting to turn a corner a little bit. They're a game and a half back for that final wild card spot in the National League, and they get ready to enter a critical stretch in this schedule to determine whether or not straight up they're going to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. I don't think there's really any scenario in which they'll be buyers unless they want to add a bat, but it's going to, you know, potentially shape the future of things here. And you needed that win against a lowly Colorado team. You got Jake Irvin on the bump this afternoon. You go get you a clean sweep and build some damn momentum going into this massive series that starts tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow night rather, against San Diego. So it's a tough spot right now for the Curly W's. It was a sick feeling last night. It got me thinking, though. In recent memory as a DC sports fan, we've had some tough, tough moments. Where does this rank, and what other moments can compare to how gut-wrenching it was last night to see Kyle Finnegan lose this thing in historic fashion? And what's sick and eerie about all of it, it makes you feel wicked, is he's been lights out this year. But in a big spot, in a spot for Washington to gain some momentum heading into this massive series against San Diego. Kyle Finnegan drops the ball. It gets me thinking about that second New York Giants game, man. Whew. 2022 is the year. Jahan Dotson, or Terry McLaurin, rather, called for not lining up on the football. And then Curtis Samuel gets absolutely mugged at the end of the game, and there was no call. Was that Sunday Night Football? Playoff spot on the line? And the Commanders blew it. That's what last night felt like. Because the other layer of this that I haven't even really brought up yet, and this is why I say those situations are similar. Last night, the umpire, Hunter Wendelstedt, god-awful. 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 The called strike accuracy last night from Hunter Wendelstedt was 82%. The average is 88%. He was missing calls left and right. And the report here from umpscorecards.com, it gives you the impactful missed calls. He had one in the bottom of the eighth where a strike is called a ball and bases are empty in a 3-2 count with two outs. Cost him there. He had a situation in the top of the third where in a 2-1 count, a ball is called a strike. He was below average as well in the call ball accuracy. Average 97%. He was 94%. That's better. But the called strike accuracy last night was egregious. Absolutely egregious. And by the analytics, it gave Colorado 0.86 runs in terms of his misses. Now we're getting nerdy with it, but like, that's why I compare it to that Giants game for Washington, because that was a blown call. That was a no call. Terry McLaurin, they call that garbage call in that prime situation. It was just ludicrous, man.
I got a different one for you.
Yeah.
Also going to go with the Commanders, though, because
of course, you know. They're the easiest one to break your heart. They
There's
always
so many.
Do.
There's so many. But it reminds me of when the Detroit Lions ended their losing streak
against
the Commanders. And it's that kind of historic loss where it's like,
yes.
And, you know, there weren't playoff implications, but, man, I just remember how bad it felt. I was like, we're the team they're going to beat. We're the first team they're going to beat. Like, just,
yeah.
Ugh.
It's gut-wrenching. MGM National Harbor Lister Lines wide open on that. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. In light of Kyle Finnegan blowing it last night against the lowly Colorado Rockies, where does it rank for you here in recent memory, and what other recent memories do you have of just getting absolutely heartbroken by one of these D.C. sports teams? Little wants to tap in. What's going on, Little?
What's going on, big fella? How about the heavy metal, man? I can't. I'm gonna look at it another way right now. I'm gonna give him a pass, man.
And that's what I tried to do.
He's been playing. So he's been lights out, man. He's been lights out on the mound. But my thing is, man, with Davey, man, he snatches pitches too damn fast for me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they can be doing good, man. The pitch count might not be too high. I like to see him ride it out a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? And hitting is contagious.
For sure.
And we got to bring up one of them youngers, man. We got to bring one of them up because, see, if one of them come here and start hitting, man, it's contagious. And one other thing, I'm going to get off the wall, man. You know why Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall?
Why
Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall because he ain't had no legs. That go for you, Big T. He didn't have no legs. But all that body up top, he couldn't hold it, man. Hey,
man, I appreciate
the call.
Hey,
man, I got arms bigger than Big Tony legs, man.
Appreciate the call, Little. 1-800-636-1067 It's the number. I agree with what Little said, and it's kind of the drum that I've been banging here to start here in the first hour. I mean, Kyle Finnegan has been lights out this year. There was a point last week where it was like 20 of his last 22 saves successful. I mean, what I continue to go back to, it's all about momentum for me. You dropped 2 of 3 against Arizona, who you're scrapping and clawing with in this NL wildcard race. Fine. At home, I might add. You lost 2 of 3. After sweeping Miami, who you put belt to their ass all year, so you kind of had momentum on your side, it felt like. But whatever, you lose 2 of 3 against Arizona. Then you got Colorado, a tune-up. a tune-up because they're the second worst team in the National League. A tune-up before this massive series, as I continue to talk about, against San Diego. And straight up, man, they blew it. 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 And it's tough because as we move forward here, this is going to, when we look back at it, this is going to be a portion of the schedule that ultimately I think will end up telling the story for the rest of the year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lester Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I mentioned the massive series coming up against San Diego. Then it doesn't get, you know, too much easier. You got a three-game set against Tampa Bay on the road. And then you come back home for two series in a row, first of which starts on July 1st against the New York Mets, another team that you're scratching and clawing with. But the Mets seem like they're starting to get things turned around. No folks up in New York were absolutely losing their damn mind about the slow start that they've had in the year, but they've shown life here as of late. So big portion in this, a big important stretch in the schedule coming up for the Nationals. They got the St. Louis Cardinals coming to town as well. So we're going to find out a lot about the Washington Nationals coming up here in the next week or two. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, a figure at ESPN, some would say the face at ESPN, rejects a massive contract offer. You won't want to miss the details of what was turned down at the big network. That's next here on The Fan. Junkers in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham taking up the 240 before we kick things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. The rubber match in Colorado against the Rockies, 3:10 first pitch. Nats on deck gets going at 240. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call per usual. Jake Irvin set to get the start this afternoon, trying to not let last night's mulligan from Kyle Finnegan, or last night's epic collapse, historic collapse from Kyle Finnegan in the ninth, not trying to let that catapult over into today as they try to take 2 of 3 against the Colorado Rockies, a series which I continue to say I was looking at it as a tune-up series before you get geared up to play the San Diego Padres, who you're fighting right now, scratching tooth and nail with for that final wild card spot in the National League. I wanted to get to something that was interesting to me because in this industry, it is a lot of different ways you can go, right? Some people stay behind the scenes. Some people get on air. Some people like to be on the production side. But at the end of the day, I think we all do this, one, because we love it, but two, I want to get paid, brother. Like, that is what what motivates me, right? Is the opportunity, you know, to create generational wealth and be financially secure through hard work doing what you love. I feel like that is what people strive to have in their life, period. And I see a lot of hate online right now, and it's bothering me because I'm not a pocket watcher. It's not what I do. Now, you'll hear me from time to time say that, man, I think it's crazy that we got school teachers that are underpaid, but Jaylen Brown signed for $300 million last summer. Trevor Lawrence, mid, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, signed for $5 and $275 million yesterday. We always get in the pockets of the athletes, but something new I saw over the weekend. And I think it's ironic that this brother is always the center of attention and the center of public scrutiny. Stephen A. Smith, the face of ESPN. In a very public contract negotiation right now with the network. And some of these contract figures have been leaked out. John Oren of Puck recently, you know, released some of these numbers. ESPN is reportedly offering Stephen A. Smith, a deal of $18 million annually. And the report is that Stephen A. Smith is asking for $25 million annually. It's big-time money. It's big-time money. To give you perspective, $25 million is more than what Jared Goff made last year. It's more than what Draymond Green made last year. It's more than what, you know, two-time Cy Young winner Blake Snell, more than what he's making this year. And John Oren, in a pretty interesting piece, led with the question of what does Stephen A. Smith do for ESPN that makes him worth that type of money? And I said, damn, like that's pocket watching at his finest, first of all, in his hatred. Why do y'all hate on Stephen A. Smith so much? Why is Stephen A. Smith, and I guess that's the goal in our industry, is to be polarizing and to have people talking about you. All publicity is good publicity. You know the old adage. But y'all got it out for Stephen A. And Stephen A. has earned. He has earned the position that he's in. It's not like Stephen A. it just came out of nowhere, right? And
I don't like him.
It just burnt. I mean, you cannot like him, but he's put his work in.
It's not that I think he's a bad person.
He's a respected
journalist.
Yeah. Before, like, that's what he's known for. He put in his time at the Philadelphia Inquirer as a respected journalist. He's been in big time locker rooms. He's covered the sport on a day to day basis. Like he's done the legwork and he's entertained. Say what you want.
He's
I can't
grading.
Stop talking about
he's
him.
Grading though.
Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, some people can't stop talking about him though.
It's true.
And I'm not going to say that's you. True. But when I say y'all, I'm talking about the general public.
No, I know.
Can't keep the name out of his mouth. Everything he does becomes clickbait, becomes the center of attention, especially right now during what's considered, right, the dead period of sports. Him walking into the finals the other night, in the final game of the finals, a series that we know was over, that wasn't very competitive from the outset of it. He goes viral and was more clicked than some of the highlights from the game because of how he walked in. And I love it. And you can say what you want about First Take. I think First Take, Cold Pizza, what it originated as, has set the standard and set the table for what sports talk television has turned into. Like, it was the first of its kind. Now, there's still a lot more traditional in terms of the real-life one-on-one debates that are had between Stephen A. and Mad Dog and, you know, Shannon and whatever guest moderator that they bring on. But he is must-see television. He is, I respect his opinion because of how long he's been around the game. But I understand, right, why people get frustrated with him. I understand, because some of the stuff that he says is completely outlandish. There was a Twitter page. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Chris, or anybody out there. It's called Awful Announcing, and they like... Stephen A. Smith makes that page.
So it's
pretty,
a hater account on Twitter.
You know,
but
they're pretty on their stuff in terms of calling out the BS that's said on some of these television shows. So it's fascinating to see that this has had so much steam. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, that's some breaking news for you. Right here on 106.7 The Fan. Keep it locked. The local team, Washington Wizards, draft coming up on Wednesday. Are they engaged in trade talks right now, though? I'll tell you next here on The Fan. Jugs in charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking up the 240 before we kick things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. The rubber match in Colorado against the Rockies. 3:10 first pitch. Nats on deck. Gets going at 2:40. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call per usual. Jake Irvin set to get the start this afternoon, trying to not let last night's mulligan from Kyle Finnegan, or last night's epic collapse, historic collapse from Kyle Finnegan in the ninth, not trying to let that catapult over into today as they try to take 2 of 3 against the Colorado Rockies. A series which I continue to say, I was looking at it as a tune-up series before you get geared up to play the San Diego Padres, who you're fighting right now, scratching tooth and nail with for that final wild card spot in the National League. I wanted to get to something that was interesting to me because in this industry, it is a lot of different ways you can go, right? Some people stay behind the scenes. Some people get on air. Some people like to be on the production side. But at the end of the day, I think we all do this, one, because we love it, but two, I want to get paid, brother. Like,
That is what motivates me, right? It's the opportunity, you know, to create generational wealth and be financially secure through hard work, doing what you love. I feel like that is what people strive to have in their life, period. And I see a lot of hate online right now, and it's bothering me because I'm not a pocket watcher. It's not what I do. Now, you'll hear me from time to time say that, man, I think it's crazy that we got school teachers that are underpaid, but Jaylen Brown signed for $300 million last summer. Trevor Lawrence, mid, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, signed for $5,275 yesterday. We always get in the pockets of the athletes, but something new I saw over the weekend. And I think it's ironic that this brother is always the center of attention and the center of public scrutiny. Stephen A. Smith, the face of ESPN. Face of ESPN. In a very public contract negotiation right now with the network. And some of these contract figures have been leaked out. John Orrin of Puck recently, you know, released some of these numbers. ESPN is reportedly offering Stephen A. Smith, a deal of $18 million annually. And the report is that Stephen A. Smith is asking for $25 million annually. It's big-time money. It's big-time money. To give you perspective, $25 million is more than what Jared Goff made last year. It's more than what Draymond Green made last year. It's more than what, you know, two-time Cy Young winner Blake Snell, more than what he's making this year. And John Orrin, in a pretty interesting piece, led with the question of what does Stephen A. Smith do for ESPN that makes him worth that type of money? And I said, damn, like that's pocket watching at its finest, first of all, and his hatred. Why do y'all hate on Stephen A. Smith so much? Why is Stephen A. Smith... And I guess that's the goal in our industry is to be polarizing and to have people talking about you. All publicity is good publicity. You know the old adage. But y'all got it out for Stephen A. And Stephen A. has earned. He has earned the position that he's in. It's not like Stephen A. it just came out of nowhere, right? And
I don't like him.
It's just burnt. I mean, you cannot like him, but he's put his work in.
It's not that I think he's a bad person.
He's a respected journalist before. Like, that's what he's known for. He put in his time at the Philadelphia Inquirer as a respected journalist. He's been in big-time locker rooms. He's covered the sport on a day-to-day basis. Like, he's done the legwork, and he's entertaining. Say what you want. I can't stop talking about him.
He's grading, though.
Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, some people can't stop talking about him, though.
It's true.
And I'm not going to say you. But when I say y'all, I'm talking about the general public.
No, I know.
Can't keep the name out of his mouth. Everything he does becomes clickbait, becomes the center of attention, especially right now during what's considered, right, the dead period of sports. Him walking into the finals the other night, in the final game of the finals, a series that we know was over, that wasn't very competitive from the outset of it. He goes viral and was more clicked than some of the highlights from the game because of how he walked in. And I love it. And you can say what you want about First Take. I think First Take, Cold Pizza, what it originated as, has set the standard and set the table for what sports talk television has turned into. Like, it was the first of its kind. Now, there's still a lot more traditional in terms of the real-life one-on-one debates that are had between Stephen A. and Mad Dog and, you know, Shannon and whatever guest moderator that they bring on. But he is must-see television. He is, I respect his opinion because of how long he's been around the game. But I understand, right, why people get frustrated with him. I understand, because some of the stuff that he says is completely outlandish. There was a Twitter page. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Chris, or anybody out there. It's called Awful Announcing, and they like... Stephen A. Smith makes that page.
So it's pretty, a hater account on Twitter.
You know, they're pretty on their stuff in terms of calling out the BS that's said on some of these television shows. So it's fascinating to see that this has had so much steam. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, That's some breaking news for you right here on 106.7 The Fan. Keep it locked. The local team, Washington Wizards, draft coming up on Wednesday. Are they engaged in trade talks right now, though? Tell you next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.